The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mark Newman from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll share with you information from various medical sources. To continue from our last session about diabetes, traveling with or treatment options with diabetes. Lifestyle modifications are the first step in keeping blood sugar levels low. Appropriate steps include a healthy diet, an exercise program, monitoring of blood sugar levels, and, if needed, diabetes drugs or insulin. If medications are required, metformin, an oral medication that reduces the amount of sugar produced in the liver and increases the sensitivity of muscle cells to insulin, may be prescribed. Metformin has the added benefit of helping with weight loss. As well, there are a number of other oral and injectable agents that can be prescribed, which can help your pancreas secrete more insulin, make the body's tissues more sensitive to insulin, or reduce blood sugar levels. For people with type 2 diabetes who have serious obesity issues, a surgical approach may be the answer. Prospective patients must undergo rigorous health screenings and, according to guidelines established by the National Institutes of Health, have a body weight greater than 100 pounds over ideal weight, and a documented history of weight management and weight loss attempts with supervised diets and exercise programs. 90% of people with type 2 diabetes have obesity issues, says Dr. Afida, staff endocrinologist at the Joslin Diabetes Center and an instructor at the Harvard Medical School. For some patients, the most effective treatment we have is a surgical approach. Weight loss surgery creates hormonal changes that can support remission. Traveling with diabetes. If you are insulin dependent or a newcomer to diabetes, you may hesitate to travel, but preparation and precautions can keep you on the move. Before you leave home, see your doctor for a checkup to be sure you are in good condition and your diabetes is under control. Schedule necessary inoculations long before your departure date, so if you have reactions, you'll have time to recover. Stock up on oral agents or insulin and syringes to last the entire trip, plus an extra supply in case you stay longer than you anticipated. Make sure your glucose meter is functioning properly. Get a signed letter from your doctor stating that you have diabetes and require those syringes and medications. Packing. Pack all of the above in your carry-on. X-rays won't hurt them. Take snacks and other food in case of delays that can mess up your meal schedule. If you're on insulin, remember to always keep your cache of emergency carbs with you. On the way, unlike oral agents, with insulin it gets trickier when you fly. Keep your watch set on your point of departure time. During the flight, eat your meals and take your injections according to the time on your watch. On arrival, adjust your dose slightly according to your doctor's instructions and set your watch to local time. The Mayo Clinic Health Letter. Aortic aneurysm. Watching a weakened artery. Your doctor noted a bulge or aneurysm in your aorta while looking at a chest x-ray to check for pneumonia. The term was a bit alarming, but the doctor said that because of its small size, keeping an eye on the aneurysm with regular monitoring is the best course of action right now. In addition, your doctor said you can take steps to minimize growth of the aneurysm and reduce the likelihood of a serious rupture or tear. How it develops. The aorta is the main blood vessel carrying blood from the heart to the body. It exits from the top of your heart and curves downward through the chest and abdomen. It is the largest artery in the body, with other major arteries branching off it to supply blood to the brain, internal organs, arms, and legs. An aneurysm occurs when one or more areas along the wall of the aorta become weak or damaged. With time, the pressure of blood flowing through the weakened area can cause it to enlarge or bulge. Most commonly, bulges occur in the abdomen, which is called an abdominal aortic aneurysm, but they may develop in the chest or thoracic aortic aneurysm. Most aneurysms are small and develop slowly. These types rarely cause symptoms on their own and are often discovered with an X-ray, ultrasound, or computerized tomography or CT scan of the chest or abdominal areas done for another reason. When it becomes a problem, aortic aneurysms are at risk of rupture, which allows blood to leak into the body. The larger the aneurysm, the greater the risk of rupture. A burst aneurysm requires emergency care. Unfortunately, it is often fatal. A smaller aneurysm has a low risk of rupture, about 1 to 2% a year. For that reason, as long as it's not growing quickly, most doctors will recommend a watch-and-wait approach. This means using imaging tests such as ultrasound at regular intervals to monitor the aneurysm's size and rate of growth. The smallest aneurysms may only require testing every 3 to 5 years, but yearly or twice-a-year monitoring may be recommended if it grows larger. Options for repair. Surgical repair is generally recommended for an abdominal aortic aneurysm once it reaches a size of about 5.5 centimeters, a little over 2 inches for men or 5 centimeters in women. Your doctor may also recommend surgery if the aneurysm appears to be growing quickly, such as it expands by 0.5 centimeters over the course of 6 months or more than 1 centimeter in a year. Aneurysms that cause symptoms such as abdominal or chest pain also may warrant treatment. Surgery may be recommended for thoracic aortic aneurysms 5.5 centimeters or larger. Repair of a smaller aneurysm may be warranted if it grows rapidly, causing symptoms, or is linked to a genetic abnormality that increases the risk of rupture. Repair of an aneurysm may be done in one of two ways, through open surgery or endovascular repair. Open abdominal or chest surgery may be used to remove the damaged section of the artery and replace it with a synthetic tube or a graft. Today, for many people, newer technology allows a less invasive procedure known as endovascular arterial repair. Surgeons insert a catheter with a prosthetic stent graft through an artery in your leg and threads it up into the aortic aneurysm. A balloon expands the metal stent inside the graft so the blood flows through the new graft, excluding the aneurysm sac. Endovascular surgery carries a lower risk of complications than does open surgery, and recovery time may be as short as a day or two in the hospital. The downside is that endovascular repair requires follow-up with imaging tests to ensure that the graft is functioning properly. It also requires specific physical characteristics and isn't an option for every aneurysm that needs repair. Researchers continue to explore drug options that may one day slow or even reverse small aneurysm growth and eliminate the need for repair. Some risk factors for an aortic aneurysm are unavoidable. For example, aneurysms are more likely in adults over 60 and particularly in men. A family history puts you at an increased risk. Genetically based connective tissue disorders such as Marfan syndrome increase the risk of a thoracic aneurysm. However, some risks can be controlled. Controlling these factors may slow the growth of an existing aneurysm and reduce the chance of a rupture. These factors include high blood pressure. The increased force on the artery walls may weaken them with time. Smoking. Smoking weakens and damages the lining of the arteries. People with a history of smoking are 3 to 5 times more likely to develop an aortic aneurysm. High cholesterol or arteriosclerosis, a buildup of plaque and hardening of the arteries, impact the strength of the aorta's walls. If you have an aortic aneurysm, your doctor may advise you to control any risk factors you have. If you smoke, talk to your doctor about ways to quit. Your doctor may also recommend lifestyle changes such as diet and exercise and medications to reduce your blood pressure and cholesterol. Watch for warning signs. Regular monitoring can help pinpoint when it's time to consider repair of an aortic aneurysm before a rupture occurs. Still, it is important to recognize the warning signs of a rupture or other aortic emergency. Typically, a rupture causes a sudden onset of back or abdominal pain, often radiating into the groin and down the legs. The sensation may feel like a ripping or tearing sensation. Other warning signs may include fainting, difficulty breathing, sudden weakness on one side, or clammy, pale skin. Seek emergency care immediately if you notice significant symptoms. Emergency artery repair is the only remains of surviving an aortic rupture, and the sooner it's done, the better the odds of our survival. Screening recommendations. There is ongoing discussion as to who should be screened for aortic aneurysm and what age. The U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommends that men aged 65 to 75 who've ever smoked should have a one-time test for abdominal aortic aneurysm using abdominal ultrasound. However, the group also concludes that no evidence exists to show if women who smoke or have a family history of aneurysms would benefit from screening. New 2018 guidelines from the Society for Vascular Surgery offered slightly different recommendations. While still recommending one-time ultrasound screening for men ages 65 to 75 with a history of tobacco smoking, they also recommend one-time screening for the following. Women ages 65 to 75 with a history of smoking or a first-degree relative, parent or sibling who's had an abdominal aortic aneurysm. Men and women over 75 with a history of smoking or a first-degree relative with an aneurysm who are in otherwise good health and have not yet been screened. Ask your doctor whether screening is appropriate for you. Given your health and family history, Medicare often, but not always, covers screening. Health tips, curbing your appetite. It's all too easy to overeat or give in to food cravings. Enjoy the most satisfying parts of eating with these tips. Number one, recognize a craving versus hunger. True hunger usually occurs when it's been a few hours since the last time you ate. Craving is more of an urge or vague longing to consume something, often as a result of habit, boredom, or increased stress. 2. Eat healthy. A nutritious meal with a balance of healthy fats, protein, and plant foods can keep you full until the next meal. 3. Avoid distractions. Don't eat while you're watching TV or browsing on your computer. Doing so can make it easy to eat more than you intended. 4. Pay attention to your food. Serve a single modest plate of food for a meal and really taste each bite. Avoid second servings by keeping food away from the table or stored before you eat. 5. Keep healthy snacks on hand. Fruits, vegetables, small portions of raw or dry, roasted nuts or low-fat or fat-free dairy products make good snacks. If you can't stop eating a less healthy or high-calorie food, don't keep it in the house. And finally, satisfy cravings wisely. If you're out for dessert, get one and split it with your companions. Break off a small square of dark chocolate. Have a small scoop of ice cream or a small handful of chips and really enjoy them. Fulfill cravings with low or no-calorie items such as chewing gum, sugar-free mints, carbonated water, tea, or black coffee. Thumb arthritis. Reducing pain, improving function. You have 5 fingers on a hand, but one of them, the thumb, is responsible for about 40% of overall hand function. Thus, it's not surprising that arthritis at the base of the thumb can make it painful to do many simple tasks, turning a key, opening a door, taking a lid off a jar, or more complex tasks such as gardening, quilting, or woodworking. Early signs and symptoms of thumb arthritis include mild to moderate pain with use and sometimes swelling or tenderness. It can become more severe with greater pain, stiffness, aching, or pain at rest, decreased pinch or grip strength, and decreased range of motion. Wearing thin. The base of the thumb bone connects to a wrist bone called the trapezium. This connection is called the carpometacarpal, CMC, joint. Thumb arthritis usually involves the CMC joint, but can also affect an adjacent joint. Osteoarthritis is the main form of arthritis to affect the thumb joint. Osteoarthritis occurs when the smooth, supple cartilage covering the ends of bone deteriorates, resulting in a roughened joint union that can eventually wear to the point of bone rubbing on bone. Loose or weakened supportive ligaments can also be a contributing factor, as this can cause the thumb bone to shift so that it doesn't rest properly on the joint, leading to uneven, accelerated wear. Although joint deterioration can be related to previous injury, it more commonly occurs for reasons that aren't fully understood. There are known risk factors such as being a female over 50 or doing a job or activity that puts a lot of repetitive stress on the thumb joint. If your doctor suspects thumb arthritis, or an important factor in diagnosis is looking for overlapping or alternative causes of symptoms, such as carpal tunnel syndrome or a tendon problem called Quervain's tenosynovitis, or alternative forms of arthritis such as rheumatoid arthritis. Taking it easy. For early and moderate stages of arthritis, most people experience symptom relief and can avoid injections or surgery with these steps. Number one, activity modification. Avoid using the thumb in ways that cause discomfort and pain or pain, such as by avoiding forceful or repetitive pinching and grasping tasks. Use tools or devices to help reduce thumb joint irritation, such as thicker, easy-to-grip foam or rubber handles on pens and toothbrushes, jar openers, large-handled kitchen utensils, and even devices to aid in turning a key or doorknob. An occupational therapist can provide additional modifications for specific tasks. Next, splints. A short, comfortable thumb brace that helps rest the joint and improve joint alignment can help reduce irritation of the thumb joint. The brace can easily be taken off at times of low thumb stress during the day. Splinting usually helps right away, but it can take a year for results to fully emerge. The main downside is that the splint can be awkward to wear and can interfere with hand hygiene. Third, hand and thumb exercises. Several fairly simple exercises, also called THENAR, T-H-E-N-A-R, muscle strengthening, can strengthen the muscular support of the thumb joint. A hand therapist can show you how to do these and set you up with a plan to progressively improve thumb strength without overdoing it. Fourth, ice and heat. Applying a cloth-covered ice pack or mild heat to the joint for 5 to 10 minutes, one or more times a day, can help with pain. Fifth, pain medications. Topical non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs or NSAIDs, including Voltaren or Solaraze, can penetrate to the joint area and may provide symptom relief. For some, short-term use of oral acetaminophen or non-prescription NSAIDs may help calm a flare-up of symptoms. Topical capsaicin, derived from chili peppers, also may help relieve pain without the kidney, heart, or gastrointestinal side effects of oral NSAIDs. And then finally, corticosteroid or hyaluronic acid injection. These injections are controversial and research regarding their effectiveness isn't settled. Still, they're commonly used. Corticosteroid injections in particular may provide 1 to 2 months of pain relief in about 40% of those with early stage thumb osteoarthritis. However, repeated corticosteroid injections can damage the joint, so their use needs to be limited. One study showed hyaluronic acid injections to offer better, longer-lasting effects compared with a corticosteroid. Surgery, Surgery is used only when non-surgical steps no longer provide acceptable pain relief. There are some surgical procedures typically used for younger adults with moderate joint deterioration, including scoping, fusing the joint, realigning, or expanding joint space. An artificial joint implant may be another option in select cases. With older adults, surgery is used when arthritis is severe. Surgery can usually be done on an outpatient basis. Recovery involves wearing a splint or cast for up to 6 weeks, along with a course of physical therapy. Surgical options include trapezium removal alone. The trapezium is the wrist bone that connects with the base of the thumb bone to form the CMC joint. This bone can be removed with nothing to replace it. Trapezium removal with support. There are several methods of supporting the thumb bone after the trapezium has been removed, including temporary wires, suture suspension, or tendon stabilization procedures. And then finally, trapezium removal with tendon support. After removal, part of a tendon taken from the forearm is wrapped around bones by the thumb for support. The remainder of the tendon is rolled up and used to fill the square left by the space left by the removed trapezium. Studies have shown that the end result of the various surgical options are fairly similar. With any of the procedures, you can expect pain to decrease, allowing you to be more active with your hand, which thus helps to increase grip strength. News and our views. Some cancers directly attributed to alcohol consumption. Although it's known that alcohol use increases the risk of certain cancers, the actual risk has now been more clearly quantified. According to evidence provided by the American Society of Clinical Oncology, 5 to 6% of new cancers and cancer deaths around the world can be linked directly to alcohol consumption. A statement from ASCO published in the January 1, 2018 issue of the Journal of Clinical Oncology outline statistics linking alcohol and cancer. Cancers clearly associated with alcohol consumption, including those of the head and neck, esophagus, liver, breast, and colon. Cancers of the pancreas and stomach also are considered highly likely to be influenced by alcohol. The highest cancer risk was seen in heavier drinkers, those who drank more than 4 alcoholic beverages a day. However, increased cancer risk was seen at any level of alcohol consumption, even for those who reported drinking 1 drink or less a day. The association between alcohol and cancer was present regardless of alcoholic beverage, be it beer, wine, or liquor. Mayo Clinic experts recommend that healthy adults who choose to drink alcohol keep their consumption at a moderate level. This means no more than 1 drink a day for women of all ages and men older than 65, and up to 2 drinks a day for men age 65 and younger. However, if you're looking to reduce your risk of certain cancers or cancer recurrence, limit your consumption or avoid alcohol completely. New spray to help stop internal gastrointestinal bleeding. Whether it occurs in the esophagus, stomach, or intestines, gastrointestinal bleeding is a serious problem that can be life-threatening, particularly in older adults. There are a number of ways to try to stop gastrointestinal bleeding using a tube or an endoscope inserted into the gastrointestinal tract to reach the affected area. These include using focused heat, tiny clips or bands, or an injection of a vessel-closing drug. A new approach using a substance called hernostatic spray, the brand name is Hemostatic spray, aims to complement or replace these more established methods. Hemostatic spray is an aerosol spray that delivers a powdered blend of minerals to the site of bleeding through an endoscope. The minerals stick to blood and quickly absorb moisture until it forms into a gel. The gel acts as a physical barrier over the bleeding site. It also concentrates clotting substances at the site to facilitate blood clot formation. Hemostatic sprays and powders were first developed by stopping wound bleeding, or for stopping wound bleeding in combat. Hemostatic spray has several advantages. It can cover a wide area for more widespread bleeding or for bleeding that's hard to pinpoint or target with other methods. It doesn't involve physically manipulating the lining of the gastrointestinal tract, minimizing the risk of unintentional tissue trauma. The hemostatic spray can stop bleeding within 5 minutes, 90% of the time. Rebleeding can occur in 20 to 40% of people who receive the spray. Still, it appears to be one of the safest ways to stop bleeding. Mayo Clinic doctors are excited about this new option. Research will help solidify the situations in which hemostatic spray is a good choice. Tai Chi, the winner at Warding Off Falls. This is from the Harvard Health Letter. Exercising is one of the best ways to ward off falls, but which type of exercise helps most? A small randomized controlled trial, the gold standard in research, found that Tai Chi is the winner. The study was published online September 10, 2018 by JAMA Internal Medicine. Researchers took 670 older adults, average age was 78, with a self-reported history of falls or mobility problems, and divided them randomly into three groups. One group did Tai Chi only, one group did stretching exercises only, and one group did aerobic, strength training, and balance and flexibility exercises. All of the participants took part in their assigned activities twice a week for an hour each time. After 6 months, people in the Tai Chi group had experienced 58% fewer falls compared with people in the stretching group, and 31% fewer falls compared with people in the group doing several types of exercises. The type of Tai Chi in the trial was tailored to older adults at risk for falling, but lots of evidence has shown Tai Chi in general is effective for improving balance. It uses a series of slow, flowing motions and deep breathing. The gradual shifting of weight boosts your strength, flexibility, range of motion, and reflexes. Biotin may throw off lab test results. A warning for people who take the dietary supplement biotin or vitamin B7. The FDA says that too much of the vitamin may interfere with the results of some lab tests. Biotin is often included in multivitamins, prenatal vitamins, and dietary supplements marketed to improve nails, hair, and skin. While there is no recommended dietary allowance established for biotin, the adequate intake value is 30 micrograms per day for people ages 19 or older, and for pregnant teens and women. Biotin supplements may contain up to 650 times the adequate intake. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Mark Newman, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138 and stay healthy.